Hello there and welcome to this special edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Heidi Adams. Thank you for joining me. This week, we turn our focus to the worst drought in 40 years in the northern parts of Kenya. In the next half hour, we will show you a VOA documentary that captures how this drought has deepened the hunger crisis in the region. It's wiped out livestock and crops in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia. The following story was produced by VOA Africa's Omari Kaseko. Here is Hunger Voices, Kenya's Food Crisis.
This is the worst we've ever seen in the last 40 years. This is the worst drought ever.
People are getting to a point of where they are fighting so that they get to live, you know? It's a matter of life and death.
The situation is very bad. In some of the counties, we're talking about 60% of the population is in crisis.
If it won't rain within this year, it's going to be pathetic. There's no doubt that a lot of livestock will be lost. Even human life are going to be at crisis.
They are the victims of emissions from elsewhere. So the world needs to show solidarity. It is not.
After the filming of the documentary, heavy rains and flash floods hit northern Kenya in April 2023, impacting thousands and exacerbating an already dire situation in the region caused by drought. VOA presents Hunger Voices, Inside Kenya's Food Crisis. Lago Village, Garissa, northern Kenya. Fadra Fara, nutrition officer, Save the Children.
We've had four failed rainy seasons. Here the health is deteriorating. There are no health centers around. The nearest health center is around 76 kilometers. That's the link facility to this outreach site. Most of the children here are malnourished. There's no water. The water is salty, so that means they cannot drink or use it at their households, the water. So they rely mostly on water tracking. And for water tracking, maybe per jerrycan is 40 shillings. And the one who can buy, who has the money, is the one who can get access to the water. But if you don't have that 40 shillings, you cannot get that water. How drought has really affected the community. Malnourished children are either given SFP or plumpy nut or plumpy sap. You might find at the household level, the mother has nothing to cook for her other children. So the only source of food is that plumpy nut, which she has been given by the nutritionist.
Geida Budid, Lago resident.
We eat one meal a day, and that one meal is rice. We have not seen any signs of rain. The drought is everywhere. We lost our livestock and we were left very little. That's the problem that we are currently facing. We have to fetch water from very far, like Modika, Hagarburan, other places. Our taps are very salty and it costs a lot of money. Sometimes we look for fresh water, which we can't find. Sometimes we come back with empty jerry cans. This is how the drought has affected us. We have lost many livestock because we can't feed them. We used to sell some of the livestock to feed the others. But with the drought, we can't do that anymore. After the drought, the camels died. We had to skin them. Only thing we have left is the skin we have brought home. All the animals have died.
Ahmed Ibrahim, arid and semi-arid land humanitarian network director.
Women are the ones who really move long distances to get water.
and in the process of doing that without something to eat, then it means their body condition is deteriorating. If there's even little food in the house, they are the last to eat, including for the girls. And from that kind of a context, the situation is very dire.
According to Kenyan authorities, over 4.3 million people living mostly in arid and semi-arid lands face severe food insecurity. Mado Aden, Lago resident.
If we leave right now, we'll reach our home at 9 in the evening. We left home at 7 this morning and arrived at around 11. We only stay at home for one day. Last night, my daughter came to fetch water for the animals, and it's still not enough to sustain them. Sometimes water trucks give us a gallon of water. The water is salty. We get sick sometimes from drinking it, but that's the only choice we have.
Moses Imalu, humanitarian manager, Save the Children.
The community setup is in a way that, for instance, it's the women and girls who are responsible for fetching water for domestic use. When water ponds dry up, they have to travel longer distances in order to get water for domestic use. In the process of traveling longer distances, number one, girls are forced to drop out of school because they have to spend more time fetching water. Women also have to abandon their daily chores because they have to spend more time traveling to get water. And in the process of traveling longer distance, they are also faced with protection risks, issues such as gender-based violence. This is a real concern for women and children.
Jamila Usman, Shandarua resident, 14 years old.
Every day I have to fetch water. It takes a lot of time and we have to come twice a day. Another problem is dust. You can't walk fast because of dust. The well is far and the water is not clean. These are the problems we face.
Since the end of 2020, Kenyan counties have been experiencing an unprecedented drought marked by five consecutive rainy seasons. As of December 2022, the UN says at least 2.5 million livestock have died due to the drought, and there's been a dramatic increase in humanitarian needs. Moses Imalu, humanitarian manager, Save the Children.
And at the moment, and based on data that we received from the government, almost 2.4 million livestock deaths have been reported. And because of lack of rain, the water points are also drying up. That is the situation in northern Kenya at the moment.
Abdullahi Lahos, Garissa farmer.
This cow has been lying here because it's weak due to the prolonged drought that has affected us. And only God can save us from the drought. I lost many cows in this last drought. When the animals are in this state, we inject them with medicine, give them water, and feed them. The drought affected us all. We can't afford to buy anything from the market. The little money we have can't get us anything. Our livestock are dying, like this one. We demand from the government and aid groups to give us food and water.
Musi Ali Gere, Malkagafu farmer.
I have never witnessed anything like this before. The cows, goats, and even camels have all died. When I walk, I feel dizzy. Why? Because I don't have meat to eat. I don't remember the last time I drank milk. My life is in danger now, and only God can help us. The government provides a little assistance, some rice and nothing else. We don't have money. We don't depend on any salary. The little that the government provide is our only survival.
Moses Imalu, humanitarian manager, Save the Children.
These are pastoralists, and livelihoods rely on livestock, and 2.4 million deaths have been reported so far. That is huge, considering that almost 70% of livestock in Kenya come from the arid and semi-arid counties. What that means is that there is no milk for children, and so children face the risk of malnutrition.
Nearly 885,000 children under the age of 5 and over 115,700 pregnant and lactating women were likely to be acutely malnourished and in need of treatment by October 2022, according to the UN. Mohammed Ghair, Dr. Wajir Referral Hospital.
In an average normal day, about 30 to 40% of our world is malnutrition. And now where we have drought, during floods, during extreme cases, we get a huge number, close to 20 cases of malnutrition in the world.
Abdul Karim Abe, sick child's father.
I am from Tarjab district, Eleb Ward, in Wajir County. My wife and I traveled from 3 a.m. this morning and arrived at this hospital at 7 p.m. We brought our sick child and we left five other children at home, and no one is with them. We came by our own means, and luckily on our way we found an ambulance that was carrying a sick person. They brought us to the hospital, where we got help. We haven't witnessed death caused by the drought, but a lot of people are dying due to the current situation. Our own town has a shortage of water, with only one borehole for everyone, and the water is very salty. No one can drink it. Water trucks come once every 3 weeks, but the water we use is salty and cannot be used for drinking. We can't do anything unless God gives us rain and His mercy.
There's increasing number of cases of malnutrition currently due to the ravaging drought and the poor socioeconomic status of the people living here. So the cases have actually been increasing, and we get more of them now compared to before. Once they land in our hospital, we basically manage them. The severity differs. There are ones that are more severe than others. And the length of the hospital stay depends on the severity. There are those that stay within a few days. And some of them stay as much as long as 1 month. And the worst scenario, we even get mortalities.
Hawa Aden, sick child's grandmother.
Initially, I brought him for Wargadad to Tarja, and I was told if he doesn't get better, we should bring him back. But his situation got worse, and we don't have good doctors who are experienced. Thank God, I came to Ajir, where he was treated, and his situation is better than before. But he still has a swollen stomach. The drought has affected the area, so the children are malnourished because of diseases and hunger. In the morning, we prepare a small breakfast, like pancakes. We don't have money anymore to make dinner in the evening. The livestock we used to depend on has been affected by the drought. I have a lot of worries. I have been told this child has a swollen liver and I should take him to Nairobi, but I don't have money to take him to Nairobi. We can barely afford breakfast for the children, so how can I take him to Nairobi?
The main problem currently we are facing was delayed presentation. They come in advanced stage where minimal can be done. There has been shortage of resources, but it's not the primary problem. We run out of stock once in a while, but majority of the time we have the stock with us.
Nuria Mumin, sick child's mother.
I came here because my child was very sick. He had difficulty breathing. He lacks nutrients. He doesn't breastfeed well. The livestock have all died. We don't have any money to go to the hospital. I'm all alone here. No one visits me. The other children are staying with their father alone, no one else. And the father is someone who is sick and cannot take care of the children. All the livestock are dead. There's nothing left. And people are dying out of hunger.
Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when Straight Talk Africa returns, we'll bring you more from the new VOA documentary, Hunger Voices, Kenya's Food Crisis. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're with Straight Talk Africa. Welcome back. Now, before the break, we brought you part of a new documentary that captures the impact of Kenya's worst drought in 40 years. Here is more from VOA's Hunger Voices, Kenya's Food Crisis, filmed and produced by Omari Kaseko.
Moses Imalu, humanitarian manager, Save the Children.
If you look at the situation now, we are seeing more and more counties sliding what we call emergency phase of food insecurity. As rain continue to fail, we will see more and more households moving into an emergency phase. What that means is more and more households will be not able to afford meals or get meals to eat. We will be seeing more and more children sliding into malnutrition. And so that's the reason, as Save the Children, we say we need to act now. We need to provide the life-saving interventions at this point in time.
I'm Kobia Gutonga, Pan-African Climate Justice Alliance.
It's a painful thing, and it's sad that these people don't know what is happening. They think it's God, and the truth is that it is man-made effects that are continuing to act our own, to hurt our own people, our own humanity, people who do not know how to even react or even behave towards it. For them now, it's just a matter of survival. If we are not careful and if we don't act now, this is going to be almost a pandemic, if I would call it.
Jonathan Lati Lelalit, Samburu County Governor.
We now kind of agree that this is caused by climate change, and you know the people in northern Kenya do very little in terms of climate impact. So we do very little in terms of carbon emissions, but we get the worst of it. The people in this Western world do the biggest damage, but they get less of it. It's a very unfair situation. Those who generate the biggest carbon emissions are affected less. Those who generate almost no carbon emission are affected most. And that's the people of Northern Kenya, including the people of Samburu County. This message should reach those people in the West to help us go through this drought situation, because we contribute very little in terms of carbon emissions. We contribute almost nothing in terms of climate change, but we are the victims, the biggest victims.
Over 1.7 million people received assistance from 93 humanitarian organizations in 2022 through the Kenya Drought Flash Appeal, a UN-financed tracking program launched in October 2012. However, delayed and inadequate funding caused major challenges for the response, which fell far short of needs. George Warinda, Malka Gufu Primary School teacher.
There has been a register of dropout because of drought. We have at least 5 to 10 dropout per class. And because that is the work of the teachers to find out what is happening. We have also realized that what has brought this dropout is scarcity of food and other assistance, other subsistence that the parents may need. Because this drought, number one, knowing that this is northeastern and they are pastoralists, because of drought, parents keep on moving from one place to another. So you realize that parents have moved, and some of the parents are moving with their children. Some of the children are left at home, and because they are left at home and there's nobody supervising whether they are coming to school or not, it becomes difficult for teachers to search for them from their homes. Number two, because of this movement, as the parents are moving, we have realized that learners are left at home without food. And so it becomes a problem for them to come to school and go home daily without proper feeding. Earlier on, we were having school feeding program, which has been assisted by NGOs and the government. But recently, it is not there. So because of this, even us, the side of school, it is very difficult for us to succumb this problem, because learners do not have food at home. At the same time, there is no food in the school. So that one may be one of the problems that has brought out this, what we call school dropout.
Hassan Ismail, Malkagufu village chief.
We are trying to make the kids go back to school, but we still have problems on how we can feed them. Because their parents are there, kids are stranded inside the houses, and no one is there to help them. We, as leaders, we take them to our houses. We feed them and send them to school like our own kids.
George Warinda, Malkagufu primary school teacher.
The mode of teaching has changed. Because number one, you know, we have to adopt what we call guidance and counseling method. Because even those who are in class, they still have the same problem that even those who are outside are having. So you realize that you cannot go on with your teaching the way it used to be. So you have to start guiding and counseling so that at least each and every one of them are ready to learn. At the same time, it is also interfering with our syllabus coverage. Because today you go in a class of 25, you find 20. Tomorrow you go, you find those, they are now 18. And these 18, five were not there yesterday. So you have to teach a new thing. So this one has also derailed our syllabus coverage because the rate of absenteeism is too much. The problem cut across the boys and girls. Though this region, girls are more disadvantaged than boys because of cultural practice. Still, the understanding. So you realize that parents do not see the need of pupils, of girls being educated. When such problems come, you find that the rate of dropouts in girls are more than the dropout in boys.
Hassan Ismail, Malkagufu village chief.
Girls that are submitted to early marriages are usually in secondary school. Because the parents cannot pay the school fees, they end up also marrying their girls who are in primary school. Paying school fees is a problem for parents who have nothing. The money they depend on comes from livestock, and now there is no more livestock because of the drought. These people are stranded, and that's why early marriages continue.
Ahmed Ibrahim, Arid and Semi-Arid Land Humanitarian Network Director.
If you really look at the current appeal of the drought situation, which is at $320 million, it is funded up to $181 million. There's a gap of $144. With the situation worsening, we anticipate the figures needed will be higher. What is spent on education, for example, in that response is around 19%. And largely, it is trying to ensure schools are still ongoing through feeding programs or water is availed or things like that. But for us to really keep those children in school, then the school must be able to have a way to keep that child in. So there should be a feeding program. Or if they're in those areas, then we have boarding facilities that really work for the pastoral setup. And we can keep them in school for longer. If you don't have that kind of a strategy, then all the young girls will be married off.
Abdul Ghadir Aden Hassan, Garissa Million Trees founder.
Who has grown up knowing now climate change is here with us and is here to stay with us. Now the big challenge for me is what can I do so that it can impact positively on the community that I live in. We have extreme temperatures. Like you can't, at homes, you're forced to even spend outside at night because it's very hot. But again, we encourage the people, community living around, to do tree planting. So for the houses that we planted trees inside, the environment has improved. And then secondly, it's climate is natural. We have no control over it. But again, some of the activities that we do as humans, do they contribute to the effect of climate change? For example, deforestation. You know, people are poor. They will cut down trees for charcoal. They will cut down trees for firewood, and so on and so forth. Now, what happens if the place gets degraded? The animals have nothing to eat. They have no feeds. And then there's no longer rangeland anymore, because sometimes there are also bushfires, which happen. Now, if that is some of these things, like the human activities contribute to some of the things that happen as far as climate change issues are concerned.
Inger Anderson, UN Environment Programme Executive Director.
The more we have vegetation, the more the little rain that comes will be retained like a sponge. We call it the sponge effect. Whereas if there's no vegetation, it just runs off and you get these deep gullies in the landscape. So the more we have sponge effect and the more vegetation, however sparse and scarce it might be, the better it is.
Kobia Gitonga, Pan-African Climate Justice Alliance.
These are things that are known to our government. They know that these areas are prone to drought. They knew it was coming, and we shouldn't act as if we are surprised.
Ahmed Ibrahim, Arid and Semi-Arid Land Humanitarian Network Director.
Government needs to take responsibility. So the first thing is all these humanitarian actors are just a complementarity package to government. So if in the government setup and planning processes, some of these things are not ingrained within our culture of how we do work, then definitely we'll always be dealing ad hocly with the crisis after crisis. We only wake up when the situation is hot.
Planning is crucial, and for us, we are calling and will continue calling the government to act and act immediately. Climate change is here with us. It's not leaving. We cannot keep on having conversations. It is a matter of urgency and action.
And that documentary produced by VOA's Omari Kaseko. And that is where we will leave our show today. Thank you so much for watching and for always listening. Remember to follow Straight Talk Africa on social media. And of course, you can find all the latest news stories from across the African continent on voaafrica.com. For now, from all of us here in Washington, it's goodbye.